This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan shot today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Second down and nine. Is Ben Lieber. And he came in clean. Has a loss of 7 yards.
Nick, it doesn't get any easier than this. I mean, here's Lieber here. I mean, Greasy thinks somebody's on the backside protecting him, never feels him. And for the second time in two plays, we get to see Ben Lieber lay out a Chicago Bear.
I believe that's Dick Stockton and Brian Baldinger on the call of Ben Lieber sacking Brian Greasy. That'll bring you back, Bears fans. That gets you in the mood for a little NFC North black and blue division football, doesn't it? Well, don't answer that. Ben Lieber is on Twitter at Nacho Lieber, the Vikings Radio Network sideline reporter, is with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Ben, how you doing?
I'm doing great, you guys. How you guys doing? Here's the thing that I'm going to start with. I just left Paul Allen's radio show here, KFAN in Minneapolis, and we played highlights of one of my biggest misplays in my history with the Chicago Bears. So it was actually nice to hear a little highlight as opposed to a low light. So thank you guys for that.
Well, we've been listening to low lights all season long in real time here in Chicago.
Yeah, we have sort of this masochistic learned helplessness lately when it comes to this Bears team, where I think our whole, at least some of us who tend toward glass half empty over the 30 years some of us have been covering this team, are really wallowing in it now because it's pretty bleak. Do you think the Bears threaten the Vikings at all?
Yes, I do, actually. Look, I know that you guys have talked about all, you know, so much of the offensive coordinator change and just how different Caleb looked last week and all this other stuff. So I would echo all of that. I think that your guys' offense looked way more efficient. It looked way more decisive. The offensive line actually looked like they were creating a new line of scrimmage more consistently in the run game. And Caleb looked great. I mean, there's some, you know, design, some quarterback, you know, read stuff and, you know, 70 yards rushing, you know, most that he's had all season long. So all of that looked great. The thing that worries me is your guys' defense. What is it, 22nd as far as blitz rate in the league, but you guys are top 10 when it comes to pressure rate. Like, you guys get after it with the front four. And if you look at where our offensive struggles have been the last couple of weeks, is teams that don't blitz much. You know, if you're just going to rush three or four guys and drop into coverage, Sam Darnold doesn't do a great job right now of really anticipating some of those windows. And so, I don't know, man. You guys have a tough defense. It's fast and kind of plays into what we're not doing well right now.
Ben, when you look at the Bears from the outside looking in, what do you see in terms of a team that started off 4-2 and now is suffering a 4-game losing streak? What have you noticed picked up, and what do you see as the problem?
Well, it's easy to say that there's just not enough great quarterback play. I think you guys have a winning defense. Special teams could be a little bit better. I think statistically it's not great. I think you guys are like outside the top 20, but I'm going to kind of get nitpicky here. I mean, we don't really talk about special teams. I know you guys did last week.
Yes, but we're still talking about it.
I get it, but like you don't really bring up special teams as far as unless it's like really, really epically bad. And like you guys aren't epically bad. I just think it's a team that's trying to figure itself out. And, you know, having a quarterback out there that just can make cleaner decisions and not always take the sack, which I don't understand sometimes, like why he's really athletic. Why doesn't he just, you know, have a better sense of breaking the pocket when he needs to, even just throwing the ball away. Like the number of sacks that he just eats and the times that he just looks a little confused back there is a lot. But that's also kind of expected for young quarterbacks. So I think you guys are just a very obvious team that's going through some growing pains. And I promise you, at least from what I've seen, it is going to get better.
When you look at Sam Darnold right now, is there a type of regression that's going on? You talked about him not doing well against teams that don't send extra pressure, send extra bodies at him. What are you seeing there? Is there a regression?
Well, I don't know if it's a regression. I just think that teams are starting to see the more games he plays, they're starting to see what he does well and what he doesn't do well. I mean, up until us going to Jacksonville, which is 2 weeks ago, he had the highest quarterback rating against the blitz of any quarterback in the league. And I think there was this idea going into the season, oh, we know who Sam Darnold is. It doesn't matter he's playing for KOC. It doesn't matter he's on this new team with Justin Jefferson. Like, it's still Sam Darnold. We're still going to do the same things that we've seen him do and attack him the same way that we've seen him in his young career. And now with the new tutelage and, you know, more weapons and a belief in him, he was shredding the blitz. And so now I think teams are like, okay, well, let's not blitz anymore and let's play a little bit more coverage to see what happens. And that seems to be working. So is it a regression? I don't know if it's a regression per se. I just think it's gamesmanship. And, you know, he's just trying to figure out a way to be a little bit more efficient, which he was last week where he didn't throw the ball away. And he's starting to rely more on his legs. I mean, his escapability has been, you know, off the charts, you know, when he's been tested. So he needs to lean a little bit more into that and then pick his shots down the field.
We were talking earlier, and our producer, Adam Studzinski, made the observation that there's a big drop-off after the Vikings get through with their scripted plays, that they do a really nice job coming into the game with whatever it is, the first 15 or the first couple of drives, and then once adjustments are made, and granted, this is against way better coaches than Matt Eberflus, but the one thing that Eberflus has done well is sort of program his defense. So is that a real thing? Is that something you've noticed as well?
I think it's noticeable, Dan, when you look at the scoring by quarters and all that stuff. But I think what goes into that is turnovers. When we turn the ball over, obviously not good. You're stalling every drive, and we all know what that means. But also, when we get behind the chains, it's not so much the execution of the plays. It's just that we've really struggled if we get an offensive penalty, we get set back, we're behind the chains. We haven't done a very good job consistently of battling through some of those long yard situations and picking up first downs and moving the chain. So we're kind of our own worst enemy when it comes to that stuff. I don't think it's play scripting. I don't think it's play design. I just think that it's, you know, sometimes just mental errors and a lot of it pre-snap, that if we get behind, we're just not right now a team that's going to push past that on a consistent basis. So we see the same thing. We talk about a lot of the same stuff, and that's just kind of how I see it.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So I started the show today by expressing my desire that the Bears don't go into the game having half lost. To wit, this idea that Brian Flores is so good at these zero blitzes and so good at putting you in the proverbial blender that, boy, we got to run the ball. We got to run draws. We got to run screens. And I'm thinking, no. If you that a blitz is, in a lot of ways, an inherently weak defense. You went out in the offseason. You added all these skill position players. What's the point of having them if you can't get them set up in some one-on-ones to go make a play? So if you were game planning my offense in this game and saying, okay, you're going to bring dudes. We're going to find the hots. We're going to find the matchups. Where are they? Where are the weak spots that this defense is daring you to try to exploit?
I would think the weak spots are anything that is 10 to, 15 to 18 yards middle of the field between the hashes, maybe just, slightly outside the hashes, that sort of area. Because you are right. He will bring zero blitz. Brian Flores will bring zero blitz in the field. It doesn't have to be in the red zone. He doesn't care. He's going to bring six guys. He's going to leave five guys in coverage. And you think about just the spacing of three guys over the top and two guys underneath as far as your pass coverage, that's not great. That you can't cover a lot of ground there. And if you get a beat on, all right, let's just kind of like slightly max protect this area, and we can still get two or three guys out in the pass, there are going to be holes. And where teams get us, and the Lions did a great job because they're, a great coaching staff, and they have great players.
Yes.
They picked up our blitz. And they exploited that. They're like, all right, if we just give Goff just a hair longer to sit in the pocket and look, there are inherent holes in this defense because it's just a numbers game. And as long as your quarterback doesn't freak out, and as long as your guys, your tight ends and running backs can step up and block, then, yeah, you can pick apart this defense. It's just hard to do that for 60 minutes because people make mistakes. We got a bunch of dogs up front, too, that can beat a one-on-one pass rush that will get to the quarterback and make the quarterback feel it. So it is a risk proposition. And if I'm going against this defense, I say take your shots, man, because the shots can be there.
Vikings have the 8-2 record, one of the best records in the league, bar none. Certainly in conversation and in the mix for the number one seed in that bye. But it doesn't seem like they're getting the national respect of a team that is considered a Super Bowl contender. How aware of that are the players and the people of Minnesota as well, that, this team is still having to prove itself because they're just not getting the respect that maybe they deserve after 10 games?
Well, it's tough for me to speak from what the players are thinking just because I have such limited time with them. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you what the fans are thinking. The fans are thinking, I think we're exactly where we need to be. I mean, we haven't put together these dominant wins. We went into, I think when we didn't bounce back from that Lions loss short week going to Los Angeles, I think that really was just kind of the wind out of our national sails of like, okay, maybe they're not who we thought. Like, everybody gave us some respect and credit for going toe-to-toe with the Lions at our place. And it's like, okay, a couple plays here and there, but the Vikings are a good team. They go on the road, and we look so flat, and we did not play very well on Thursday Night Football. I think that's when everybody's like, okay, maybe not as good. And then everybody around here was saying, we have a three-game stretch. Woo, boy, we can take a deep breath. Boy, we get to go to Jacksonville, and then we go to Nashville, and then we go to Chicago. Should be three easy wins. Well, they haven't been three easy or two easy wins. They haven't been going back to the Lions. They haven't taken the Jacksonville Jaguars, taken them behind the woodshed, and just beat the pulp out of them. That gives you national attention. When you just sort of squeak by these teams that you're better than, I think it's accurate for the nation and for the people to say, like, I don't know what we have out of these guys. Great record, but they haven't asserted their dominance in any one game yet.
Isn't that the league, though? If we start looking at the number of these games that are one-score games, and, the Chiefs finally got tagged after a bunch of ho-hum wins. They don't really look like the Chiefs. This is a dominant team, and then you look at their record and you see all this stuff. So it seems like it's harder than ever for a team to escape what I call the NFL blob.
Yes, but I think those teams have quarterback cachet, and I think that goes a long ways. And you can always have faith that, all right, the Chiefs have some sort of Mahomes magic. Statistically, offense is not great, but you keep them, the defense keeps you around the fourth quarter. You know, magical things are going to happen. Josh Allen, same thing. He's got the marquee name. Lamar Jackson, same thing. He's got the marquee name. Sam Darnold, for the rest of the public, is not a marquee name. And everybody's waiting for Sam Darnold to become Sam Darnold. And they're like, okay, cute team. They've won some games, but eventually they're just, you know, Sam's going to just do what he's always done. And the Vikings are just going to kind of be an afterthought when it comes down to the playoff push. I think that's what people are thinking. And I mean, I don't fault them for looking at name recognition, but I can tell you right now, you're sleeping on this defense. I mean, we all know the defense wins championships. And if Sam can play like he did last week, where he doesn't turn the ball over, makes a ton of plays with his legs, we get an efficient running game, and we still have the best wide receiver in the game, along with this pressure-heavy defense that has a bunch of non-household stars on this defense. I mean, Andrew Van Ginkle should be up for the defensive MVP.
Oh, he's a hell of a player, man. He's something.
People want to laugh at that, but you put a blank face up and you compare him to all the other candidates defensively and his impact. Oh, he's up there. People would be like, oh my gosh, two defensive touchdowns. You know, he's what, you know, close to leading the league in sacks and all this other, like, oh my gosh, tackle for losses. Like, this guy's a menace. Who is this guy? And it's, oh, it's Andrew Van Ginkle. Yeah, you know, that's the type of guys we have on our team.
I feel like people know who Andrew Van Ginkle is now league wide.
He also looks like a literal Viking.
That's fair.
I know. It's great. I mean, he fits it perfectly. I mean, grew up in not far away in Iowa. I mean, his family and everybody in town is a Vikings fan. Like, it's like the perfect story.
No, I don't trust people from Iowa. You know, absolutely not. No. Never,
what?
Never. No. You know that. He's this, you know.
Iowa's a lovely place. I wanted to ask you.
Ben's from Iowa.
Ben, about Aaron Jones and the running game and whether or not Kevin O'Connell, you think, will game plan for that. In terms of the Bears have not been great at stopping the run. They've had some issues on their defensive line. And I know, you know, averaging 4 yards a carry isn't probably what the Vikings were envisioning with their running game. Everybody wants to be a little bit better, and they don't have one of the top tier, let's say, running games, but they haven't really needed it. Is that an area of, I guess, exposure that you think the Vikings are going to try to attack this weekend?
I think so, and it seems like it's funny because you could literally watch your defense get better from 2 weeks ago against New England and the type of runs versus last week against Green Bay. I mean, you guys got exploited with a lot of the wham-type blocks where the tight end starts or a fullback starts on one side and goes all the way across the formation and kicks out the defensive end. Those sort of plays where you have the ability to stay front side or cut back, your ends and edges don't do a great job of digging underneath those blocks. And so they create a lot of seams. And you come back to the Packers game, and clearly they practiced against that. And they're like, all right, we're going to shut this down. But the point is, there are vulnerabilities. And I think that your guys' front is not as natural at stopping the run maybe as some other teams. Maybe even look at our team. Our team is, you know, fantastic at stopping the run. So, I think that KOC and the staff are going to look a lot of the same tape, and they're going to say, okay, we can manipulate their ends pretty good. They love to run upfield. We can capture their edge and get around the outside. We can influence them, get them to run upfield and kick them out. Like, we can do those sort of things as long as we sort of, dress it up maybe a little differently so they can't get a beat on it. I think balance, finding a run game, using what Aaron Jones does the best, and that's just kind of slashing through the defensive line. We have to get that going because we do get a little lopsided sometimes. You can tell KOC has to, like, kind of rein it back in because I think he just loves calling passing plays, but he knows that the running game has to be a part of the equation.
We're talking with Ben Lieber, the former Viking linebacker turned Radio Network sideline reporter. Before we let you go, you sort of very casually and correctly, I think, called Justin Jefferson the best in the game.
Yep.
And I was going to say, well, wait, I kind of guess he is. But the Bears have won who's one of the best in the game, too, in Jalen Johnson. He had a rough week last week, first bad game he's had in a while. But they don't travel him with a receiver. And there's always reasons for it. And if you were a defensive coordinator and it were up to you, would this be a week in which you would reconfigure things to allow him to shadow Jefferson? And if not, why not?
I would say no, going back to what I said about Sam Darnold loves to see man coverage. He loves it. He knows exactly where to go with the ball. He knows he can read the leverage better. Everything's cleaner. Everything is just cleaner from a pre-snap look to knowing where you need to go. Zone coverages, because there are multiple zone coverages, you don't know where guys are going to end up. You don't always know. So my philosophy going this game, if I was a defensive coordinator, I would say, no, I'm going to keep Jalen on his side. We're going to mix it up, you know, play some man, play some zone, but predominantly wherever Justin's going to be, we'll bracket him. We'll bracket him with a zone coverage. We don't have to double team him in man coverage, but we'll just make sure that, you know, a nickel corner or a corner and a safety all have sort of, you know, we've got two sets of bodies that kind of know where he's at and squeeze him. And then we'll just kind of play a zone in front of that. And we should be good to go, because that's what's given us the biggest problems. And I don't think that you can go into the game saying, we're going to shut Justin Jefferson down to zero catches and 0 yards. I think you just go in the expectation, okay, he'll get us 5 or 6 touches and targets. You know, we limit him to 50 yards. As long as they're not 50 yards and 2 touchdowns, I think we'll be good. So, no, I wouldn't travel him either.
All right, good answer. Well supported. Ben Lieber, this is great. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, Dan Marshall, appreciate it, man. Anytime. Good luck to you guys. I think that you guys really are. I'm a big fan of Kevin Warren, too. I mean, he's a Vikings guy and a friend of mine, so I think he's got good things coming for you guys.
We will see. Wow. Jury is still out.
Hope you're right.
Thanks, Ben.
That's Ben Lieber. This segment brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.